Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The United States is the only industrialized nation that does not require employers to give their workers paid sick time off when they're sick. An urgent concern during this health crisis, especially when one of the main directives comes from officials, has been stay home. The Families First Coronavirus Response Act requires employers now to offer up to 12 weeks of leave, 2 weeks of paid and 10 weeks of unpaid job protective leave. But there are lots of exemptions, and it's kind of like confusion out there. Where are we with paid sick leave? Here in San Antonio, there was an effort to pass a local ordinance, and that has been stalled in the courts. We'll see what happens when we get into the next legislative session, if there is the political will to pass something along those lines. What do you want to see with paid sick leave? Could you have used it now? Do you think this is something that the coronavirus pandemic shows us that this is something that we actually do need? The number is 833-877-8255. If you're a business owner, if you're concerned that paid sick leave is something that you cannot handle, especially now because of all the stress, because of the coronavirus, we want to hear from you also. And the number is 833-TPR-TALK. We're joined now by Joyce Beebe, the Public Finance Fellow at the Baker Institute for Public Policy at Rice University. Joyce Beebe, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Annie Spillman is also here, the Texas State Director for the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Annie Spillman, good to have you.
Thank you, Dave.
And also joining us, Sarah Jane Glenn, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. Sarah Jane Glenn, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
Joyce Beebe, can you tell us where are we? We did pass the Family First Coronavirus Act, but it's not exactly what Nancy Pelosi had first wanted. So what do we have?
So like you mentioned earlier, this is the second relief package passed by the federal government. It provides a temporary relief or help in terms of the paid sick leave. So if you're an employee and you're sick, you can get full pay from your job for 2 weeks or 80 hours. And if your family members are sick, you can get about 2/3 of your pay for 2 weeks. And there's a cap. So up to $511 per day or $5,110 in total. But the rule is basically saying, well, there's a carve-out. This is only applicable to companies that's less than 500 employees or only covers and only covers companies with higher than 50 employees. So it's only the range between 50 and 500 employees, which means a lot of smaller businesses are not really covered by the rules. And this rule will expire by the end of the year. So if Congress does not really extend this coverage, there is not going to be additional coverage after the end of the year.
Joyce Beebe, do we have any data that tells us how many people have actually used this to stay home?
I'm not really aware of the data at this point. Not really for me.
And the way this works, is this someone who gets sick, they say, I want to stay home. They qualify under this and they stay home. And then the employer pays them and is reimbursed by the government?
Right. It's done through tax credits. So the employer will have to file a form to the IRS, basically, and say, federal government, please pay me for these part of the expenses.
Are they paid a dollar for dollar what they would have made if they were working, or is it three quarters?
It depends on who are they caring for. If they are ill, or they are in self-quarantine on their own because of their own illness, it's full pay. But if it's their family member and not themselves, it's 2/3.
Annie Spillman, the Texas State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business, how has the coronavirus impacted local independent businesses in Texas, and particularly in concern with employee sickness and paid sick leave?
Yes, sir. Thank you for asking. So, yes, in NFIB, we represent small businesses, and that can range. But as Joyce said, this the Families First Coronavirus Act does really mostly target small businesses. There are a very small group of small businesses that can be exempt, but the burden of proof is on them to show that their the viability of their business would be jeopardized. Now, to answer your question, 64% of our members have stated that their sales volumes are down 50 to 100% from pre-crisis levels. And while many of them have taken advantage of the PPP and EIDL loans through the SBA and the Treasury, many of them have said that that money has already been used. And 46% of our members, almost half, has said that in the next 12 months they're going to need more financial assistance. And I will tell you that first and foremost, their priority is to keep their doors open, to make sure that they make payroll, and they can do that with that PPP loan. But again, that money's been running out. And, you know, the safety of their employees and their customers is absolutely number one. And majority of our members, 73% of our members, before any sort of mandated paid sick time or extended family medical leave act benefits, already offer some sort of paid time off.
So before we had the coronavirus, there we had a lot of activity in Texas, Annie, about trying to get ordinances passed in Dallas, Austin, San Antonio. Each different city had a different sort of approach on these ordinances trying to achieve paid sick leave locally. And your organization, the National Federation of Independent Business, you were advising against that, right?
Yes, sir. And I'd like to make a distinction. I could tell you that small business owners are committed to their employees. They consider their employees family. They're committed to their communities. You know, they're the ones that sponsor the baseball teams. Not any of them think that the benefit of paid sick leave is bad. That's a great benefit. Now, it's economics 101. Just because the government mandates, that a small business offer paid sick leave doesn't mean that they can. So, you know, a mandate is a mandate. We did fight against the mandate with the city, specifically in San Antonio. It had other things attached to it, such as subpoena power. The city of San Antonio would have had subpoena power over these small businesses and their employees' records. Again, the majority of our members offer some sort of paid time off. So it was something that we did battle in court. And again, it takes the benefits program away from the employer. It puts it in the hands of the local government, who we don't think would be equipped to really oversee that program to begin with.
Sarah Jane Glynn, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress, given the scope and just the incredible damage we're seeing to the economy and to families and the workforce with the COVID-19, do you think that this has crystallized exactly why a paid sick leave solution is somehow needed in the country?
I would hope that that's one of the lessons that we're learning. You know, there have been millions of people who have gotten sick at this point, you know, somewhere around 150,000 who have died. I still have a hard time wrapping my mind around what that really means. And this is not the first time that we have had a serious public health concern in the U.S., and it will not be the last time. So my sincere hope is that one of the things we can learn from this is that we need to have a federal floor that lifts workers up and enables them to take time off when they are sick. We have decades of research showing that access to paid sick days is very good for business and is very good for workers and is particularly good for public health. I'm sure a lot of your listeners remember the H1N1 pandemic, and it's estimated that about 5 million additional people contracted H1N1 because they didn't have access to workplace policies like paid sick days, and about 1,500 people died as a result of not having access to paid sick days and folks having to keep going to work when they're sick. So I think sometimes this conversation in normal times is often about, you know, going to the dentist or getting accessing preventative care, which are also incredibly important. And we do need to have access to paid sick days for normal times too. But when we're experiencing such an extreme public health crisis, it really highlights that this is actually a matter of life and death for people. This isn't just a nice to have. This is something that we desperately need to have as a country.
And but Sarah Jane Glynn, you know, looking at it as city ordinances, that's kind of a patchwork system, very, very loose and hard to gauge. And cities are pretty small and viruses don't stay to one city. I mean, isn't it be more ideal to find a statewide or even national approach than a city ordinance?
Absolutely. I mean, I think having laws passed at the city level is important if that's the only avenue that is available to, you know, to folks. But we really would like to see much broader coverage. So as of right now, there are 11 states, the District of Columbia, and 22 localities that have passed paid sick days laws. Not all of those have gone into effect, but those have all been passed and are on the books. But we need something that's more robust than that, right? I'm calling into you from Tennessee. This is a state that does not have any guaranteed paid sick days for workers. But people travel to and from Tennessee all the time, right? And so making sure that everyone is covered is what we really need to do if we're going to protect public health, because the virus doesn't stop at the border of a city or a state or even of a country.
But we have seen a lot of activity. Annie Spillman, I go to you on this, the Texas State Director for the National Federation of Independent Businesses. How have local businesses been dealing with employees who get sick? I mean, do they say you have to come in or you don't get paid, or has that attitude softened quite a bit now?
Well, I'll tell you that flexibility has always been what makes a small business work. Being able to have mutually beneficial arrangements with their employees. It's the small businesses that say you can come in later or you can leave earlier or yes, please take off. Again, the safety of their employees and their customer is number one, and their number one obligation is to keep their doors open, and to do so, it's to keep their employees and their customers safe. And I will tell you that I don't think anybody disagrees, again, that that paid sick leave is a great benefit, and yes, it can help with public safety. But we've seen in those other cities where they've mandated these laws, we've seen job losses, and because, again, it's economics 101, and unfortunately a small business that operates on very thin margins, especially in this time, with not even losing revenue, but not even having the opportunity to make revenue. But it's, you know, if the government comes in and mandates these benefits, then they have no other choice but to maybe cut other benefits, cut bonuses, cut back wages, cut back hours. Or unfortunately, cut positions, and that's in order to keep their doors open so that everyone else can have a job. What businesses have faced right now has been complete uncertainty, and uncertainty to a small business is crippling because it means they cannot plan ahead for the future. They're trying to keep any of their reserves, which generally they don't have any more than $20,000 in reserves on hand at any time, to try to, number one, make payroll. And I think that needs to be the first priority. Health is a priority, but again, just because, you know, this, it seems just and fair and we should do this, paid sick leave it's not because a business owner may not want to do it. It's because they don't have the ability to do it.
But if there were a national law or maybe a financial reimbursement that we have now, like tax credits, did that help? Would that help?
It helps. I'll tell you that. We were glad that Congress made that a compromise. Tax complexity is also one of the number one biggest problems and priorities for small businesses. They don't have in-house compliance officers or, CPAs. And so we've seen that our members have reported that 30% of them have really only taken advantage of that tax credit because those forms are pretty complex. That being said, it's not necessarily even that they would get some sort of tax benefit. It's the government coming in, taking over this practice, and then they're dealing with possible penalties, civil action, litigation, fines. Right now it works, majority of businesses do offer some sort of paid time off. And, you know, it's just very uncomfortable when government agencies take over a private business.
We're talking about paid sick leave and how it comes to play in the coronavirus crisis right now. San Antonio has tried to have a paid sick leave ordinance. It's got hung up in the courts. If you have a question or a comment about paid sick leave, do you support it? Are you a business person and you're concerned? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about paid sick leave and the role that it is playing in the pandemic right now. Employers, how are you handling sick leave for your employees? What factors are informing your decisions? What are your concerns? And employees, has your employer changed its sick leave policy right now because of the pandemic? Are you worried about not having sick leave or not enough, about being forced to go to work, even though you could be put at risk or that you could be putting others at risk? How is this working out at your place of business and at your home? What are your concerns? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Joyce Beebe, the Public Finance Fellow at the Baker Institute for Public Policy at Rice University. Annie Spillman brought up, she's with the National Federation of Independent Business, that some cities had paid sick leave, yet they still saw outbreaks of COVID-19 pretty harsh. And I remember, you know, New York City, they've got paid sick leave and they were hammered pretty hard by it. How did paid sick leave come to play in the Big Apple?
I think not only were they hammered hard with the COVID cases, but even New York City, who probably has one of the biggest administrations in red tape, they admitted they couldn't even handle the implementation of paid sick leave and deal with every single private employer and make sure that they were implementing the paid sick leave as prescribed. They've reported that it's been a nightmare. But I'll tell you that in the states, Seattle and some of these other states that have implemented paid sick leave, they've seen that the outcome, while very well-intended, the outcome has put some businesses out of business or forced businesses to let people go, and this was before COVID. And so now we're dealing with government shutdowns that force the businesses to shut down and people out of business. It's just sort of come together as sort of a snowball effect and not in the benefit of the employee.
Right. So, Annie, thank you for that. And so, Joyce Beebe, can you give us an update on how it looked to New York to you?
I want to say that at the federal level, start with the federal level, they don't really have a federal rule about covering the paid sick leave. So, yes, each jurisdiction have their own rules. But at the federal level statistic, it does show that most of the people who do not have a paid sick leave coverage are people who work for smaller businesses and for lower income distribution that end. So I feel the discussion for the lack of paid sick leave is most relevant for this group. If you earn on the income distribution side, the top 10% of the income, you're probably 3 to 4 times more likely to have that coverage than the lower end of the distribution. And yes, like Big Apple closed for a few weeks or months, then people cannot really open their businesses, then cannot go to work. And the lower income folks are also the ones that do not have those coverages. And in some jurisdictions, they are essential workers. They have to go to work. So they are required to go to work without the coverage of paid sick leave. So even if for them, they have comprehensive or one of the most comprehensive rules in the country for paid sick leave, they are still struggling. I would say there's still a lot of room for discussion as to what is enough, especially at a smaller business level.
Right. So it seems like New York did shut down for quite a while. They went into a hard lockdown, something that we did not see here in Texas. And it seemed like one reason factor that went into they were able to do that is because they had something like paid sick leave. Does that make sense, Sarah Jane Glynn at the Center for American Progress?
Yeah, I mean, I think that having access to paid leave certainly makes it easier for people to stay home. But I do want to caution folks from thinking that paid sick days by itself is an adequate public health response to something like COVID-19. You know, one of the things that's really different about COVID-19 versus other respiratory and infectious pandemics that we've been through in the past, like, you know, swine flu, H1N1, all of this, right, is that you can be asymptomatic and still be spreading it, either for a long period of time, maybe you never develop symptoms, or you can be spreading it and be contagious before you actually start to feel sick. And that's why we need something like paid sick days in conjunction with adequate testing, widespread testing, and contact tracing. So that's part of why, even in cities like Seattle and New York that had paid sick days laws in place, those laws aren't perfect. Lots of people are still left out. Lots of people are retaliated against for taking leave, so they might be afraid to use even the benefits that they have. And then you combine that with the fact that people could be contagious before they even knew they were sick, and that sort of creates this perfect storm. So, you know, like I said, paid sick days are incredibly important, in part because it means that once people know they're sick, they still have money coming in so that they don't end up, say, on a list to be evicted because they got sick. But that by itself is not going to be enough to address, you know, the real public health challenges around COVID-19.
So people are incentivized to go to work when they're sick if they don't get paid and they have to, and they stay home if they're sick. They say, well, I got to pay the bills. And we're calling these people essential workers, and you have to go to work. They're required to go to work. Sarah Jane Glynn, if they're essential workers, why aren't they given the essentials, which is paid sick leave?
It's a really good question. You know, in the best of times, there's an estimated 3 million people per week who go to work sick. And we know this is pre-pandemic, right? Even in the best case circumstances, 3 million sick people at work every week, mostly women, mothers of young children, and low-wage workers. Many of them are in service jobs or in essential jobs where they are interacting with people. So that's bad all the time. It's disastrous when it's happening right now. And unfortunately, you know, some folks within the administration, the Department of Labor, you know, some members of Congress, decided when they were putting together the Families First Coronavirus Response Act that they wanted to exclude essential workers. So folks who are working in healthcare, for example, can be excluded from these paid sick days benefits, which to me is really counterintuitive. If someone is working in public health, that means that they are being exposed to the virus much more than other folks are, and yet we're denying those people access to guaranteed paid sick leave if they themselves get sick. And the way that the Department of Labor interpreted that meant that basically anybody who's even remotely related to providing medical care can be excluded from paid sick days coverage. So a janitor in a nursing home, even if they never actually are, you know, providing medication to patients or working directly with the patients of the nursing home, they can still be carved out of accessing paid sick days because they work in a medical setting. It's a really broad interpretation. There have been legal challenges to that interpretation, but unfortunately, as that all continues to play out, we have, you know, millions of workers who have no guaranteed right to paid sick leave right now in the middle of, you know, an incredibly dangerous pandemic.
Annie Spillman, Texas State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. If you could sort of respond to that as well about essential workers, you got to go to work. We need you. You can't stay home. But if you're going to sick, if you get sick, that's you're on you.
You know, I would say that a majority of these essential workers work in the sort of public field. I know some work in the private sector as well. I just want to put this forth to your listeners that many of the local ordinances, state ordinances, and federal policy propositions exempted out the public sector from providing paid sick leave, and it exempted out those in labor unions, those who have collective bargaining. Those were the very people that were bringing these policies forward. So they exempted themselves out of covering these essential employees. Apparently they're not essential if they work in the public sector or for labor unions, but they wanted to make sure that private sector employers provided this benefit. I also would just, you know, hone in that you have to understand that if this is a mandate, if this comes down from the federal level or the state or the local, you know, it's decisions have to be made by these small businesses. So, you know, at one point you ask, is healthcare, having your healthcare paid for more important, or having a 401k saving for your future more important, or is paid sick leave more important? And in a perfect world, we wouldn't have to choose. But unfortunately, a small business owner that does operate and has finite resources, and in this case, almost no resources, they're going to have to make those tough decisions, and they're going to have to ask their employees to make these decisions. And frankly, the government's making the decision for them. And it takes that relationship away from the employer and the employee. And I'll tell you that with our members, it's not a question of providing some sort of paid time off or sick time or working with their employees, because 73% of our members who can do it, do it. So the majority of our folks are doing it. So I don't know who these, you know, the small percentage of folks aren't, who aren't providing it.
So Annie, when you say the government is forcing it, and you make it sound as if it were this alien force that is not responsive to the will of the people, I mean, it turns out that paid sick leave is very popular with many people in Texas, according to polling, and this is something that people are calling for.
Yes, paid sick leave is popular. It's a very good benefit. And all we're saying is that that needs to be a benefit that the employer is, you know, it's what sort of makes the employer competitive. Number one, they want to provide that. They, you know, they're competing with larger corporations. Right now, one of the top 10 problems for a business owner is finding and keeping skilled employees, you know, locating qualified workers. So in order to do that, they have to pay competitive wages. They have to offer competitive benefits. And so, no, it's not some sort of alien idea. It's something that, you know, like I said, the small business community, if anybody wants to take care of their employees, what I was saying is that the labor unions are exempting themselves out through these policies, and so are public sector employers.
Because they can negotiate and be able to get the same deal. We're talking about this is a policy that would impact non-union shops. We're going to take a break and we'll come back. We'll take your questions. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Would you support some sort of paid sick leave law, maybe that goes up floated in Austin during the next legislative session? What do you want to see happening with paid sick leave? Do you think there's a role for it in dealing with the pandemic? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about paid sick leave. If you get sick, do you have to make a choice? You got to go to work or else you can't get paid. And then if you don't get paid, you can't pay your bills and things cascade from there. So you decide to go to work. But what does that actually mean in a public health situation, especially now that we have a pandemic around us? If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Annie Spillman, Texas State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Is there an argument to be made that paid sick leave could be something that could be applied, a law or something, but now is not the time, now that businesses have already had a 1-2 punch dealing with the COVID and the economic fallout, and maybe we should take this up when we get back to normal?
Yeah, Dave, thanks for the question. I'll agree on the first part for sure. I mean, now, if anything, while it's sort of, you know, don't kick them while they're down, these small businesses are just doing everything they can to stay afloat. Many of them have reported that if the economic conditions don't change within the next 12 months, that they will have to close their doors. A second part of that question, you know, this is something that small business owners are willing to talk about if we have, you know, one set of compliance either on the federal or statewide level. Now, again, a mandate is a mandate, but if we understand, and I know this sounds, you know, like rhetoric, but one size fits all does not work. Small businesses operate in a very unique and complex fashion. And so if you think about small businesses, you think about the pizza parlor, the dry cleaning, the auto place, you know, the mechanic shop. So they all operate in different industries and different hours. And so if we just keep that discussion in mind, you know, there will just have to be a lot of flexibility if we move forward with this. But, you know, one set of laws is always better than a multiple set of laws. That takes away some of that complexity and confusion.
Sarah Jane Glynn at the Center for American Progress, I mean, the argument could also be made now is exactly the time to try to push for paid sick leave because we're living through the argument on why we need to have something like this right now.
I mean, that's definitely the approach that I have been taking. I think as we continue to see more and more people get sick and unfortunately more and more people who are passing away, you know, this is not something that we should even be debating. This should be obvious. Yes, we need to have access to paid sick days right now. We need to prevent people from becoming sick and we need to prevent people from dying. I think it's absolutely appropriate right now to have a structure in place like we do where businesses are not expected to foot that bill. You know, we're talking about folks needing really extended sick time right now if they need to self-quarantine. 2 weeks all at once for an illness is really quite rare. And so having the federal government step in and say, we're going to cover the bill. We're going to give you this money back when you file your quarterly taxes. You know, you don't have to wait a full year. You can do that with your quarterly filings, and we're going to get that money back to you. That makes a ton of sense. I think we need to keep in mind, too, that when we're talking about a permanent policy moving forward, I would love to see that at the federal level so that every single worker in the country could benefit from it. Under normal circumstances, most people only take, on average, 2 to 3 sick days per year. So it is very unusual to be in a situation like we are right now where people need weeks of sick time all at once. Most folks are only using it a couple of times a year because they get the flu or because, you know, they need to have, you know, a day of going to the dentist and having preventative care and checkups and things like that. It's not actually a benefit that gets used super frequently, but it is incredibly important for workers when they do need to use it, either for themselves or because they have an ill family member that they need to provide care for.
Going to the phones now. David is called in. David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm a healthcare provider and a healthcare leader that has worked in San Antonio hospitals, and none of the organizations that I worked with offered sick time. The sick paid time off was lumped into a normal PTO, so employees were forced, when sick, to use regular vacation days for that sick time. So from that perspective, I really feel that larger organizations, particularly in healthcare, need to provide that sick time option, especially now under the COVID-19 pandemic. So many of these healthcare workers are not taking any time off and will certainly need some respite. The other side of the coin is I'm semi-retired and I'm trying to start a small business. And when I look at the opportunities of trying to offer any kind of benefits to my employees, if I was forced to offer, say, sick time as part of that package, it may be the deciding factor whether or not I could open my business or not.
David, thank you for the call. Annie Spillman, what can you tell David?
Appreciate that, David, and thank you for your time serving in the healthcare arena. You know, we have had some of our small business owners crunch numbers and pay somebody to crunch those numbers again because they don't have in-house CPAs, but it's equivalent to 1 or 2 people's salaries offering this. Again, it's not something that they don't want to provide, but they have to be practical, right? In order to keep their doors open, in order to provide jobs for some people, they're going to have to make sacrifices. And as David said, you know, he might even say, ooh, I don't know if I can get into this. This is a complex burden, and it's being run by the government. I might open myself up to liability and fines, and I just can't focus on that. Frankly, I'm not educated enough to do it. But we have seen that what it costs to provide this mandated paid sick time as provided by, let's say, the federal government, that would be equivalent to 1 or 2 people's salaries. That's 2 more people that could have jobs.
And Joyce Beebe at the Baker Institute for Public Policy at Rice University, the impact on small business owners, I mean, it's not to be trifled with. This is a real thing.
Right. I would agree. So just going back to the statistics, the federal government did say, well, you know what, the per hour, on a per hour basis, on average nationwide, it's about 42 cents per person per hour for the employer to provide the sick leave benefit. It doesn't really sound like a lot of money at that level, but going back to the fact that, well, if we are talking about the people who are on the lower end of the income distribution, for smaller businesses that could account to a substantial amount of money. But in light of coronavirus, will this be something more employers should think about for everything Sarah Jane just mentioned? Could this be something that prevents further spread of further diseases, or could it something be part of the benefit package going forward that it's more important in light of this virus? I think it's a good time for everybody to start thinking about it.
So, Sarah Jane Glynn, other countries provide paid sick leave. There's lots of ways to do it. You could either get a check directly from the government, or you get it from their employer, or you get the employer can be reimbursed. Is it just finding out a way that would work in the country so that we could have this, what is obviously needed because we're in a pandemic, and or in a way to keep businesses going?
Yeah, and luckily we do have great evidence from the states and cities that have passed these laws already. So, you know, a lot of research has been done on paid sick days ordinances, and what's been found over and over again is that there is no statistically significant impact on employment. So, you know, at the individual level, you might be able to find one or two businesses that say this was the death knell to my small business, but what we have found over and over again is that there's not a statistically significant impact on employment. And if we think about the ordinances that were being talked about in Texas, you know, what you're talking about is the possibility of accruing at maximum maybe up to 8 days of paid sick days per year. Like I said, most people don't take that much. So on average, what you would have to budget for is about an extra week of pay per employee. So if you have a lot of employees, that can add up to a lot of money. But I think when we hear small business, we tend to think of, you know, the businesses that have maybe 5 or 10 people working there. Certainly there are larger small businesses than that. But in those instances, you're not talking about doubling people's salary or doubling people's payroll costs. You know, so the scale for small businesses is much smaller because they have fewer employees. I'm certainly not trying to say that there's no costs involved with this, but there's also a lot of hidden costs involved with not having it. Certainly having someone who's sick come into work and infect your entire office so that everyone's now very ill, or having someone come in sick and infect a bunch of your customers, that's also a really bad thing to happen to a small business. And so, you know, there's a trade-off there in terms of productivity, in terms of other losses. And I think sometimes that gets lost in the conversation. We only think about how much does it cost to provide this benefit and not how much money are we losing right now because we don't have those benefits in place to protect people.
Annie Spillman, do you think this will be something that will come up in the legislative session that starts in January?
I do. If you don't mind me, just I think, you know, Sarah's got some research that she's referring to, and I can also tell that she's never run a small business. I mean, we do our balloting from our members, the people that are on the ground running these businesses. They operate, as she said, there's, you know, hidden cost. Well, there are. Regulation is hidden cost on small businesses. It costs a small business 36% more to implement a regulation, which is about 12,000 more per employee per year than it does a larger business. And for these smaller businesses, I mean, these business owners aren't even taking home paychecks regularly. They're making payroll. They have to make all kinds of other payments. So I think it's disingenuous for somebody who's never run a business to say.
Annie, you're kind of. Sarah Jane Glynn, do you want to respond really quickly?
Sure.
I come from a family of small business owners. My dad is a small business owner who has, you know, less than 10 employees and offers a very good benefit package to them because it aids in retention. And he's had some of the same employees who've stayed with him for years because they have good benefits there. So I have definitely seen it from both sides.
And talking about hidden costs, there are hidden costs for being an employee, particularly or if you're a caregiver and an employee and you're having to balance a lot at the same time, people are hoping that paid sick leave, that this is a question that's been nebulous, but right now it's come into sharp focus during this pandemic, and we'll see what comes forth in the next legislative session. Maybe voters will be able to ask their candidates how they stand on paid sick leave. I want to thank all of our guests, Joyce Beebe at the Baker Institute for Public Policy at Rice University, Annie Spillman, the National Federation of Independent Business, Sarah Jane Glenn, Center for American Progress.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.